The next speaker is Laurent Debout, and the title of the talk is Seasonal Forecast in France.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. So the title has been said, so I'll skip to the next one. First, I'd like to remind, I'm sure you're aware of it, but I'd like just to remind the strong importance of hydropower, especially in the French electricity system. As you have heard, especially this morning during the plenary session, hydropower is really important in electrical systems for several reasons. The first one is that it allows some storage of energy, in particular in large dams. So it's an easy way to store energy in lakes. The second important point is that it's a very flexible production mean, because you can turn on and off a production unit in a few seconds, and then you can deliver energy to the system very efficiently and very quickly. So it is very convenient to deal with peaks in demand. When you need an extra energy in a few minutes, you can get it from hydropower. And in addition, it's a very efficient way to interconnect energy systems, as is the case, for instance, in the Nord Pool, where you have a lot of hydropower production in Sweden and Norway. And there's a lot of wind production in Denmark, but then Denmark is very happy when there's no wind to have these interconnections with Norway and Sweden to get hydropower production to fulfill their demand. So hydropower is very important, and it's the same in France. We have almost something like 80% of installed capacity with hydropower. Its annual production overall in the last 10 years have been around 10 to 12% of the total production of energy. And it's a very important component for all of these reasons. Of course, hydropower production is very sensitive to the water cycle viability, which has also impacts, as was already shown, on distribution stations with floods, for instance, on coal mines and so on. But river flows and then the water cycle viability also has strong impacts on the cooling capacity of thermal power plants which are installed on rivers. Hydrological forecasts and hydrometeorological forecast at EDF is a long story. More than 30 years now. This is the picture we have at the moment, let's say. So we do monitoring and forecast from very short term, so real time to 24 hours, mainly for safety reasons, up to 6 months ahead in operational conditions. For this, we use different kind of information, so numerical weather prediction from different models, especially those from Météo France and from the ECMWF. So both deterministic and probabilistic models, ensemble prediction systems. But we also have a very good network observation at EDF, which we share with Météo France. We exchange our data with them, especially because we have a lot of observations in high altitude sites, which Météo France do not have. So this observation network is very is of very good quality. It has been operated for more than 50 years now in certain stations, and so it's an important component of the system because it allows to initiate, give the initial conditions to the models and monitor the real state of the system. The other important tool in this component is our hydrological model, which is a conceptual model. So it's a reservoir model called Mordor. I think the guy who designed it was an addict of the Lord of the Ring, I guess. So it's a simple model with different reservoirs, and so the atmospheric part with evapotranspiration, precipitation under rainfall and snow, and then the surface ground and deep ground, and then at the end every watershed is modeled, and the final output is the natural river flow, which is at the end of the watershed. This model is used at different time scales, as I showed before, so it's used up to 14 days using numerical weather predictions, and it's used on longer time scales up to now, and I will describe all. So the idea is that the model is initialized with the observations we have for snow stocks, snow depths, water in the reservoirs, observed flows, and so on. And then it's run over 2 weeks, for instance, or over 6 months, using atmospheric forcings, which are necessary to run it. So up to 14 days, it's forced by numerical weather predictions from Meteo France and ECMWF, so both deterministic and probabilistic forecasts. And up to now, on longer time scales, so that's to say from 2 weeks to 6 months ahead, it was used only with climatological temperature and precipitation. So we have around 50 years of daily observations of temperature and precipitation, which are run into the system. So it's a climatological approach, indeed. Just a quick comment about what I call natural predictability. In mountainous areas where you have snow stocks during winter, of course, this provides you a very good predictability, at least in the spring, because when the temperature rises, the snow melts, and then if you know the snow stock you have at the beginning of the season, it's a very good factor to be able to predict what will be the flow in the coming months. So in those mountain basins, while you have snow stocks, the predictability is good. This is illustrated by this picture. If you in gray, you have the snow stock for the 1976 year. There was not a lot of snow, and then the flow in spring in blue was quite low. But then in 1977, we had very snowy conditions, and then the flow was very important for the next couple of months. And but of course, in plain basins where we don't have snow stocks, this predictability is much lower, and it's very important to get predictability or potential predictability from natural from atmospheric forcing. Sorry. So, a last introduction to our tools. As these forecasting tools have been developed a long time ago, rainfall forecasts were not skillful at all, especially 10 years ago or even 20 years ago. So the method which was developed was to use an analog method, which is simply based on the fact that for a given atmospheric circulation pattern today, if you have a similar one in the past, you may expect that the local precipitation and temperature would be the same. So the idea of the method is just when you have forecasted atmospheric pattern, so it's based on dew potential at 700 and 1000 hectopascals, you look for analog situations with a distance criteria I will not detail in the NSEPR analysis, for instance. This gives you dates. And for these dates, you take the local temperature and precipitation observations over all your watersheds as the current forecast. And if for one atmospheric pattern circulation, you look for 50 analogs in the past, for instance, this gives you 50 forecasts for temperature and precipitation through an ensemble forecast. And from then, you can force your model. So for those who were in ISEM in 2011, so already 4 years ago, maybe you remember I presented what we've done with monthly forecasts. So based on the quite good skill there is in ECMWF's monthly forecast, we tried to extend our method, which was operational up to 14 days, to 1 month. Very briefly, the result was that the method allows to, so it's the hydrological model, which is forced by a monthly forecast obtained with the analog method based on the monthly forecast of dew potential from the ECMWF. And then the result is that first, we can reduce the dispersion of the forecast, and second, in particular in those dry autumns, we made much better forecasts than the reference methods based on climatology. And so the idea of this study was to examine if there is a similar result to expect from seasonal forecast. So this is done in the frame of the EUPOGAS project, FP7 project, coordinated by Carlo Buntempo from the Met Office. So this study was made by one of my students very recently. So we use ECMWF system 4 in CAS for geopotential date at 700 and 1000. We look for the analogs in the NSEPR analysis, and then we get the temperature and precipitation forecast for all the watersheds. We can also use the direct raw model outputs from ECMWF or Meteo France, both systems, so seasonal forecasting systems with their respective incast period indicated there. The study was run over 43 basins in France, 22 only for Arpège because we didn't have all the data, and we used our observations, our EDF observations. I will go briefly through the results. So this first plot shows the results for the 33 watersheds for the run initialized in February for March, April, May, and May, June, July. This is the rock score for the upper tercile. So the red is for the raw output from the seasonal ECMWF model. The blue and green boxes are for the hydrological model forced with the analog method results. And the purple one is the Arpège model, Arpège hydrological chain. I will not go into the detail, but Arpège has an hydrological component as well. I will not detail the differences between the analog, the two analog experiments because they are quite close. What you can see there is that overall all the models have some skill in predicting the temperature. Here is the temperature for precipitation is pretty much the same. But nonetheless, the analog method doesn't do a very different job from the other ones. So what's the interest, you would say? If we look at the run in May, so for June, July, August, and August and August, September, October, the picture is quite different. There's maybe not very much skill compared to climatology in the first 3 months. In this case, in spring, the Arpège model does a much better job, apparently. But then the interesting part is when we come to river flow. So this plot shows you for the May initialization, so the forecast are for June, July, August. What is represented is the accumulated inflow over the 3 month period for all the incast years. So the gray is the climatology of flow, of river flow. This is for one watershed in the Alps. The red curve is the hydrological model forced by the climatological temperature and precipitation. And the blue one is the hydrological model forced by the analog method forecast. So what you can see, and overall it's the same over all the basins, is that the dispersion of the forecast is reduced with the analog method compared to the climatological approach, which was expected. We have a few outliers for the blue dispersion, for instance here and here, but we have to notice that it's not the full distribution, it's only the 10% to 90% quantized distribution. So it seems, at least on this plot, that the model does quite a good job. Sorry for this. Oh, there's no power. I should be quick. Here is a spatial view of the of this. Remember that for the monthly forecast, the results were particularly good in autumn. So we tried to look at autumn. So this is the August run for September, October, November, November, December, January. This is the rock score, so the improvement with respect to climatological river flow, and we can see that it's much better than climatology, except maybe on the second period for a few basins. If we come back to the May runs, so for early spring, early summer, and summer, it's even better. But then in this part, we have the predictability which comes from the initial conditions. So you should keep this in mind. In spring and early summer, the predictability comes mainly from the initial conditions and not from the atmospheric forcing. This one shows the difference, which is the final goal, which is to see the improvement with our new method with respect to the climatological one. So it's the it's a percentage improvement with the analog method with respect to the climatological one. You can see that the picture is quite moderated. That's a good word, but there are some basins where we have a slight improvement with respect to the climatological approach. There are others where the climatology is better. So it's a mix answer. And if we look closer to another basin, so this one is in the Alps, so in the eastern part of France. So this is the forecast for the river flow, and this is the equivalent for temperature and for precipitation. And what you can see easily is that there are residual biases in temperature and precipitation, which of course impact the hydrological model and result in biases in the river flow forecast. So we have residual biases, and we need to correct them. So I'll come back to this in a few seconds. So broadly speaking, on monthly and seasonal timescales, you must remember that hydrological predictability is not only from atmospheric forcing, it's also from initial conditions, especially in spring. However, recent developments in numerical weather prediction, especially at monthly and seasonal timescales, clearly allowed to improve the atmospheric forcing skills. And so monthly forecast has been in operation at EDF for more than 5 years now, and the forecasters are happy with them. These first results about seasonal timescales are encouraging, but we have still some problems, which come from the fact that the atmospheric forcing, still are not skillful enough, because we have residual biases in temperature and precipitation. And so there are two options to correct this. The first one is to, there's no power, so I should finish. The first one is to correct the biases in the geopotential height, because I didn't show it, but we have almost no bias at 700 hectopascal, but there's something like an average bias of 10%. At 1,000, so this is the first option. But then it will, if we make a bias correction of these fields, we may destroy the spatial coherence of the fields, which for the analog method would be a major issue. And the second option we will try to investigate would be to correct, to adjust the biases locally basin per basin, because we're not interested in the final coherence of the fields for each of the basin. We are interested in getting the best possible forecast for each watershed. Well, thank you.
Questions for the speaker?
Everyone is starving. No.
You didn't make any mention of pumped storage. Do any of those basins have pumped storage, and is there any implication for it if they do exist?
There's some pump storage in France. I can't remember the capacity. It's not very, very important. I think there are four steps units. I don't know the English translation, but it's pump storage. We have four, one in the east and the other in the Harz, I guess. They are taken into account, of course, but in general, the pumping is made, is not really correlated to the hydropower forecast themselves. Oh, it is, because if we forecast that we'll have a large input of water with floods, for instance, we will need to manage the level of water in the reservoir. But then for these timescales, it's rather a problem of optimizing the whole system and knowing, being able to give to the people who are in charge of the global supply-demand balance what would be the hydrological potential for the next few months. So it's part of the problem, but it's not all the problem. But we can go on later if you want.
Hello, Laura. Thank you. That's good. Quick question about the skill of the forecasts. Have you looked at whether it's associated with the inability of the model to get the pressure field correct, or whether it's due to your hydrological model, and whether you've looked at the distribution between the two?
If I had some more battery, I could show you a plot, but I can show you later if you want. No, it's not sort of a problem. The hydrological model on most watersheds makes a very good job. The residual, the biases are very, very small. Of course, it's a model, so it's not perfect, but it's overall very good. And we really think that the biases we still have there come from the biases in the atmospheric forcing. Yeah.
And at what time scale are the weather patterns done? Is it a daily field? Is it a
daily field?
So do you know certain weather types that are better forecast, or
In fact, for each over the 6 months on the forecast, we use for each day we use the day and day plus one J potential at 701,000. So we use four fields. So we have an idea of the evolution of the depths of the layer from one day to the other. But then there's no long-term coherence between the fields. Not sure I answered the question. But
so, okay, no, that's good.
Hi, Eric Stein. Just a question on the for understanding. Did you use analog forecast in a day and day ahead a forecast, or did you use the analog forecast for the time frame beyond the model?
No, it's there. It's only about seasonal forecast. So we have the model, which is initialized with the snow stocks and so on, and then it's run using the forcing coming from either the climatology, so climatological temperature and precipitations, either forecast for temperature and precipitations over the whole 6 months.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions? One more. Okay, since we have time.
Have you looked at the correlation between the skills in the monthly versus the seasonal? And is there a relationship between, I was thinking in the monthly you can get more into the different weather types that the model's better to predict, and
no.
Can you see it through to?
No, we haven't. We should.
So I have a question actually. For analogs, they use ANSI pre-analysis to find the analogs, but you're using ECMWF forecast. Have you considered using different product, reanalysis product? And if they are consistent, would you expect it, your analogs to add more value?
Yeah. In fact, we use ANSI pre-analysis for historical reasons because the method was developed maybe 15 years ago, and then the ANSI was the easiest to access, and it's free and it's easy and so on. Of course, we could try other analysis because especially the resolution of NSEP is only 2.5 degrees, or the one we use at least. So maybe a round theorem would be more relevant, or maybe a more recent analysis would be even better because they have a higher resolution. But it's temperated by the fact that we use geopotential fields, which are large-scale circulation patterns. And I'm not sure the increase in resolution would bring so much value. So.
Well, let's thank all the speakers.
Time.